for Nida, but we're not going to... There's enough time that everybody should be able to see Torah Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Shach, Taz, Pesach, Tshuva. And we're going to go through the things more carefully. The reason why it went much quicker yesterday is because that wasn't really Avelus. It was a pre-Avelus. So I thought it was worth seeing anyway. But okay, so today we're not going to start Avelus today. Avelus L'chud and Kriya L'chud. And actually, in just a minute, we're going to talk about that very point, the connection between Avelus and Kriya. The source for Kriya, the Gemara in Moed Katan, Chav Dalet, says, Uvigdechem lo sifromu velo samusu, which implies that, as the Gemara says, Ha'acher shelo para v'shelo pirem chayv misa. So from here we see A, there's a chiv kfura, a Kriya, and B, if you don't do Kriya, you're chayv misa. When it says chayv misa, so the Torah says it means misa v'dei shamayim. Now, the question is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So the Ramban writes, it's mid-rabbanan, the pasuk's an asmachta, the shachs have cut and based paskins that way, and the reason why you're chayv misa is you're chayv misa ka'overal d'vei chachamim. Interesting question, whether it's the regular chayv misa for being overal d'vei chachamim, or perhaps it's particularly egregious over here. The Ramban, though, does note that there are some ge'onim who understand that Kriya is de'oraisa, that this is a drasha gemura. They bring a raya from the Gemara that says Avelus L'chud and Kriya L'chud that were machmir on a shaila of Kriya, as opposed to Avelus, where halach de'vermeko, and the Gaonim think that that means because Kriya is de'oraisa. Ramban himself disagrees, as we'll see in a moment, and he says, no, what that Gemara means is we don't apply the principle of halach de'vermeko, the Avel, but we would apply the regular din of Halach achar hamekel b'derabanan. Halach b'derabanan b'avel is a super rule that even yachid keneged rabim we follow the mekel opinion, which we don't do for regular din derabanan. We're going to talk about why that is when we get to Avelus. Why is it that we're so super duper mekel? We have certain areas of halacha, really two areas of halacha where we have that principle, Erevin and Avelus, why that would be. So we'll get to that when we start Avelus. But the point is that the Gemara is saying that with respect to Kriya, we follow the regular din for Derabanan, which is that if it's a suffix, we're Mekel, but if Rove are Machmir and Mir are Mekel, so then we still follow Rove. Now, what is the reason for Kriya? And I suppose this is especially a pressing question if you assume it's a din Derabanan. Now, it's obvious that even if it's a din Derabanan, that means is a chova. In other words, as a concept, you see many places in the Torah that the concept of Kriya exists. Like Hashem says to Aaron and the Bnei Aaron, Big Dechem, Lo Sifromu. In other words, what's that pasuk saying? Clearly, the practice of Kriya was something that was normally done, and therefore Hashem was telling Aaron and Bnei Aaron, Big Dechem, Al Tifromu, don't do it. So it's an idea that existed already in the times of the Torah. It just wasn't formalized as an obligation until some later point, some takana. Maybe it was even a takana bimei Moshe. We don't know when the takana was made. But the point is, it wasn't, this can't be a proof that it's a chova. It could just be a proof. But it is certainly a proof that the concept exists. But still, you know, the question is, why would we do it? And especially as the Gemara notes, that Kriya does seem to go against the normal principle of the Torah, which is Bal Tashchis. In fact, we'll see the halacha is that unnecessary Kriya is a violation of Bal Tashchis. And if somebody else tears Kriya for you, we're going to talk about whether or not that should be done, but let's say that was done and they tear a little too much. They need to tear a tefach, and they tear a tefach and a half. So the pashtus is, though this is a machlokes, but the pashtus is that that's bal tashchis, and they're chayev. Even if you do it yourself, it's a machlokes. So why in the world are we tearing? It's a strange idea. So if you look at the Sfarim, they give a number of different reasons, and I thought it was particularly interesting because the reasons are opposite reasons to some degree. For example, if you look at the Sefer Divrei Sofrim, this, by the way, is I brought some Sfarim just to discuss with people. So besides the general Nosei Kelim, there are two contemporary works that follow the Seder HaShulchan Aruch. One is the Divrei Sofrim, and one is the Badei HaShulchan. They're both two volumes. The Divrei Sofrim is incredibly thorough. Badei HaShulchan is written a little later. It includes the Divrei Sofrim, meaning to say he refers to the Divrei Sofrim. It's probably a little less comprehensive, but also a little easier to use, a little more user-friendly. I use the Divrei Sofrim because I bought it when I first learned Hilchos Avelos, and the Badei HaShulchan was not yet published. So that's why I use it. That's not to say it's any better or worse. They're both a great Sfarim. There are also Sfarim that are topical, as opposed to Al Seder HaShulchan Aruch. One of them in Hebrew is called the Pnei Moshe. In English, they have the Art Scroll. The Art Scroll is actually a translation of the Pnei Baruch into English. It's not an original Art Scroll work. It's a translation. There are numerous other Sfarim in Hebrew. Rabbi Karp has a Sefer, which I haven't really had a chance to look, and I imagine they're all very good. One of the milos of the topical Sfarim is that there are indexes and it's much easier to find things. When you're learning, the way we're learning now, which is Al-Pi Seder HaShulchan Aruch, the Sfarim that are Al-Pi Seder HaShulchan Aruch are a little easier to use because you're learning Al-Pi Seder HaShulchan Aruch, so a Sefer that's organized by Seder HaShulchan Aruch is much easier. Whereas if, like, 4 years from now you get a Shailen Hilchos Avelos and you want to look up a particular thing, so then, generally speaking, the topical Sfarim, the topically organized Sfarim, are much easier to use than one Al-Pi Seder HaShulchan Aruch, because you know just where to use it, and everything is in its place where it belongs. Whereas, as we know from Shulchan Aruch learning, it's not always as systematic and structured as one might have wished. So anyway, back to so I'm going to be quoting a lot from Divrei Sofrim because from Poskim as well. But I you know, when I'm looking for more sources beyond what's on the page of Shulchan Aruch, so usually the first place I look at is the Divrei Sofrim. But again, that's not to imply that the other Sfarim aren't wonderful as well. Kulam Ahuvim. Okay, anyway, the Divrei Sofrim in Sifkan Gimel brings from the Achronim a number of reasons for Kriya. One is Lasiach Daito Lidvarim Acherim Shelo Yisbahel Almeso. So, like, you shouldn't get too shtered, and by causing this Hefsid Mamon, I suppose, it's a Hesach Hadas. Now, I thought that was very strange, because as a mashal, Vayikra Mordechai is Begadav, right? So what Mordechai was trying to do, have Hesach Hadas, now that was a different Kriya, that was a Kriya about an impending tragedy as opposed to a tragedy that already happened, but presumably they're related. And that Kriya was not because, like, he wanted to forget about this event, this decree of Haman. Adirabba, it was to an act of tshuva, presumably, to highlight, right, by Basak Va'efer. This was, if anything, to magnify or to personalize or something else. But it's definitely not, I don't think, it wasn't Hesach Hadas. I could say that, yeah, there's two types of kriyas, but I don't know. That reason sounded very different than, I guess, the general attitude that we have with Avelos and the like. So then the second reason he gives, which I think is a little more misdaber, is the exact opposite. It's le'orer al ha'esabechi, right? It's to intensify it, intensify the emotions for the person, and we'll see perhaps also for others. We'll see that when it comes to Kriya for Katan, we do it to intensify that Bechi for others. Bechi plays an important role as part of this process, and this helps. A third reason related is Agmas Nefesh. The way Rav Schachter says it, which I think is along similar lines, he has a piece on this in Ikve Atzon, Simen Yurches, it's Laharos Eschimam Shebelev. In other words, a outward manifestation of your inner turmoil and sadness. Now, there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe Archaim, and he writes that we don't need reasons for kriya. Mikra mali dibri arkasov. That's a little strange to say that, I thought, because if you think it's a takana of Chazal, so then you need a reason. Why would Chazal have been misaken it? So I guess Rav Moshe is saying, okay, it's a takana based off of psukim. They codified what people were doing anyway, so you don't need a reason. But still, if something's a din in the Torah, so we could say, okay, choki milafanai. Even then, we usually look for reasons. But at least I could say that's the idea. But once something is a takana, one would think that there should be an accessible reason. And another tshuva, Rav Moshe writes, that's in a tshuva in Yoredei Chelek Aleph Siman Reish Chaf Dalet, he writes in the name of the Beis Hillel, that it's part of mitzvah's tshuva. Yoredei Chelek Aleph Siman Reish Chaf Dalet.
The name of who?
The Beis Hillel. The tshuvos van Hagos or Sternbach, Chelek Dalet, page Reish Ches Tzadi, writes that it's Kedel Hisbazos. And we'll see, at least some of the poskim reflect this in the halacha, the Birkei Yosef in Pischei Tshuva Sefkan Aleph writes that it's better for someone else to rip your clothing because that's more embarrassing. Now, why do we want to be misbaza is an interesting question. That might be part of what we were talking about before. Might also relate to Tzedakah Din, which we'll get to later. The Meiri writes in Moed Katan, Chav Dalet in the base, that it's a sign of Kavod Ames. Lemashal, you know, it's like Sreifas Malachim, even though that would normally be Bal Tashchas, it shows Kavod to the king that we burn his stuff. So here, you know, this, like we say about Yerushalayim, you know, Kedai who Yerushalayim to lose a shirt. So this mace, now, again, perhaps it has to be a little more than that, like we said, Vayikra Mordechai is Begadav. So I don't think that's Kavod Ames. You could, again, say that there's two different types of kriya. But that's another theme. You might see that a little bit in Rambam, Perek Tes, Hilchos Avel Halacha Yud Gimel, by Chizkiyahu, Kavod Asu Lo B'Moso. Yeah.
So one thing, first of all, Bahasiyat Daitom, could it just mean the Rambam talks about how the Rambam implies that you technically do get rid of some of your kasas, for example, when you tear something. So it could be like to not distraction is the wrong, I don't know if this is what he means, but it could be to so that you don't get totally overwhelmed, you can express some of your emotion by doing something with it. It's not a distraction, more as a as allowance to vent out some of the emotion. Not the same as rejection, just as a way to like mm-hmm. defense mechanism, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Is that possible what he's saying?
Maybe that's what he means. Mm-hmm. That actually relates to Shitas HaRambam over there. I don't think we're to get into it, that they're both Malach Shem Shricha L'Gufa. But again, the simple reading of that Gemara doesn't necessarily indicate that those two points are related. Ripping a Korea B'Chamaso is indeed like doing Avodah Zarah. It helps get rid of your anger, but in Korea Meso could be something totally different. They might share a certain quality that makes it Misaken and not Mekalkel, but that doesn't mean that they're equated. Now, it's possible. I'm not denying that the concept exists, but the question is that the point of Kriya? So I don't know if that Gemara really proves that's the point of Kriya. The Gemara says that's why some people rip up things in anger. Now, we'll see later, this, we're going to get to this in a moment, but this might relate to Machlokas, Rashi, and Ramban, when they talk about Kriya B'Shas Yitzias Neshama, where Rashi emphasizes the lost potential, meaning to say it's on the tragedy, and the Ramban stresses it's almost about the future. Rashi's more on the future, and the Ramban is for his past achievements. But maybe we'll get back to that when we think about it. Now, as a hakdama to the simen, what I want to do is compare kriya to avelos. This will mean a little bit jumping around our simen, and we'll get back to the dinim al haseder. But I think it's an interesting question. We're learning hilchos avelos, so does hilchos kriya belong as part of hilchos avelos, or is it something else? It's a separate mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that avelim might do. First of all, we know it's not limited to avelim, right? So there's kriya b'shas yitzias neshama, and even though there's no avelos, there's kriya adam kasher even when there's no avelos. So we know that there are times that there's kriya without avelos, and we also know that avelim, those who are chayv in avelos, are chayv in kriya. So the question is, when the avelim are chayv in kriya, is that kriya a chelek of the broader Nihuge Avelos, or is it a separate mitzvah? It's an independent chiyuv, it's a separate mitzvah. They don't really have anything to do with each other, other than the Avel's chayiv in Kriya and the Avel's chayiv in Avelos. As we noted, the Gemara in Daf Chavav says Avelos Luchud and Kriya Luchud, which might imply that they are very different. Each one is Luchud. However, you could also say that's more limited. It just means, as the Ramban explains, that we don't apply the principle of Halacha K'divrei HaMeikel for Kriya. Avelos L'chud and Kriya L'chud doesn't imply a totally separate category. They are actually related to each other with differences. Certainly there's going to be differences, but again, the question is it a subset of a broader Hilchos Avelos, or is it a independent mitzvah upon Avelim? There's a Gemara that might explicitly be addressing this question. It's on Daf Chav Beis on the base. The Gemara says, if you hear a Shmua Rechoka, so we know that you're not Noheg, that means after 30 days, so you're not Noheg Avelos, and at least for other relatives other than a parent, you're not Korea. Now what about if you hear Shmua Rechoka, if you hear Shmua Krov on Shabbos, but after Shabbos ends, it's going to be a Shmua Rechoka. So the Gemara says that it's treated basically as a Shmua Rechoka. You're only Noheg one day of Avelos, not even one day, one moment of Avelos. Even though you heard it when it was still within 30 days, since you can't have full-fledged Avelos on Shabbos, and by the time Shabbos ends, it's no longer within 30 days, so you wouldn't have Shiva. So the Gemara says, well, what about Kriya? Tashi Machlokas exactly how to read the Gemara, but the simple reading of the Gemara is, the Gemara's question is, what about Kriya? Meaning to say, obviously you can't tear Kriya on Shabbos, would you tear Kriya after Shabbos? Since you heard about the loss on Shabbos, and that loss you heard about within 30 days, so then you'll be chayiv to tear Kriya after Shabbos, or do we say, no, it's like Avelos? Since at the moment that you're actually going to be foel tar kriya, it's already a shmur rechoka, so then you would effectively be potter from kriya. That's the Gemara Shaila. And the Gemara says it's a machlokas. Rav Mani Omer eno korea. Rav Chanina Omer korea. So there's a debate. What's the debate about? Amar le Rabbi Mani, Rabbi Chanina, bishlama ledidi, where I say eno korea. Hainu delo ikka avela shiva. In other words, just like, or the way Rashi says it is even stronger, I will point out that when you're learning Rashi on Moed Katan, so the Rashis that we have, the standard printing of the Rashis, is not the Rashi that most Rishonim have. If you, the Rashi al-Harif is much closer to the Rashi that most of the Rishonim have. Or nowadays, if you get the Ozahadar Gemaras, they have what they call Rashi Ksav Yad. It's worthwhile, if you have a chance when learning the Gemaras, to actually look at both Rashis. But anyway, the standard Rashi explains, he writes, Mishum Deleka Shiva Eina Korea. In other words, Rav Mani's argument is if there's no Shiva, there should be no Kriya. Elodidach De'amrit Korea Kriya Below Shiva Miyaka. And the Gemara answers, well, we know there is. Mishen lo chalak lekrav and is damin lo betoch shiva korea la'achar shiva eno korea b'medvar mamurim b'chamisha meisi mitzvah aval al ave v'imo korea b'holich. So the halacha is that let's say a person didn't have a shirt to rip during the shiva because, for example, they borrowed a shirt, so it's not theirs, they can't rip it. They get a shirt after shiva, they don't do kriya. They couldn't do kriya during shiva. That's it. They lost their chance. But aviv v'imo, you are korea. Machlokas Rishonim, how long we actually paskin your korea liolam. One way or the other, though, the point is that there you have an example of kriya without shiva. So that supports Rav Chanina's approach that at least you could be machalik. And the Gemara answers, kitanya hi lekavod aviv v'imo. The way the Ramban explains that is that's not regular kriya. He says, Kilomar kriyazu ain't a kriya schova, el a kriya shall kavod. It's a kriya of kibud avaim. It's not regular kriya. Mi kriya shall kavod lo gamin and lasharet mason. So therefore, we don't have a clear cut example of kriya for shar mason, regular kriya, that doesn't have with it shiva. Rav Mani therefore says they're linked, and Rav Chanina says no, they're not. Actually, how we paskin this is a little confusing. Maybe we'll get back to it a little later. You won't find this din straightforward in Shulchan Aruch, either side. But it seems that at least to some degree they're debating this point. Again, you could say it's just a technicality. But the pashtus is that the question is how linked are they? Do we see kriya as something independent? And therefore, there's no reason why you couldn't have kriya below shiva. And therefore, perhaps, in the case of where you hear on Shabbos, that's the 30th day, so then you would tear kriya on Motei Shabbos, because the time that you found out about it was a time where it was still krova. And afterwards, whereas avelos, we look more at a different aspect of when befoel you're going to be knowing the avelos. So that actually seems to be the debate over there. Again, Ritva points out, Rav Mani isn't saying that you always have kriya with avelos, because we know there's kriya, let's say, for Adam Kasher, there's no avelos. The way the Ritva puts it is that ein kriya below shiva lemisha noagim alav in yani avelos. In other words, Rav Mani's argument is whenever there is kriya of an avel, so then the kriya l'chora is linked to the avela, such that if there's no avela, there's going to be no kriya. Good. Now, as we'll see, it's not so straightforward, this question. It's machlokas amoraim, perhaps, but throughout our simon, this question of the extent to which they're linked comes up again and again. Maybe we'll jump around a little bit now, and then we'll go through it later, later, but seven places in Simen Shin Mem where this issue comes up about the connection, the relationship between Kriya and Avelos. So the first point is not perhaps so telling, but it is significant, which is the halacha is that let's say a person tore Kriya, and during the Shiva, they change their shirt. So you can't wear a freshly laundered shirt, but they take a dirty shirt. They've been wearing the same shirt for the last 4 days. It's really grimy. So they switch shirts to a different shirt. They take a shirt out of their laundry hamper, and they wear that. So do you have to tear kriya again? So the halacha is, it depends. For other aveilim, you don't. And for other v'imo, you do. So what does that show? So L'chora, the pshat is, that's a reflection of something else. That's telling me that for other v'imo, in addition to the chi of kriya, part of nihuge avelos is to wear a beged karua. And therefore, even though you're already fully fulfilled the mitzvah's kriya, when you teared kriya, whenever you tore kriya, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, when you tear kriya, but whenever you tore kriya the first time, you are yod to your mitzvah's kriya, but then there's a second din, and that second din is surely a din in avelos, that you have to wear a beged karua, and that din is only applicable for avi v'imo. We'll talk about this more also as we go through avelos. The pashtus is, and whenever you have chumras for avi v'imo, it's a din in kibud avim. And as we saw the Ramban point out in that Gemara, that's not a din in regular kriya. And it might not also be a din in regular avelos. The chumras of avelos for avi v'imo, it's a din, it's a different type of avelos. It's avelos al kavud avim. For example, mechila works. Okay, so that's one expression of this, but again, that's not telling, because that might not tell us about the ikur kriya. All that tells us is that there's an additional din for avi v'imo that you have to wear a beged karua. But what about the ikur kriya? So in Siftes Vav, you have a very interesting and it's actually a bit complicated halacha. There is a question whether regel is mivatal shloshim le'inyan kriya. What does that mean? What it means is, at least for Shar Krovim, after the Shiva's over, you can be sholel the beged that you tore, meaning to say loosely stitch it up. You can't really repair it, but you can put it back together. The Shulchan Aruch tells you exactly the details, what that means. And then after Shloshim, you could be, Ichui is permitted. You can sew it back up. Parents are different. But Shar Krovim, that's the halacha. So we know, let's say a person lost a relative right before Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is going to be Mevatel the Shiva, and Yom Kippur will Mevatel the Shloshim. So right after the Shloshim's over, so then the Nihugi Avelos, right after Yom Kippur, or upon Yom Kippur, the Nihugi Avelos and the Shloshim have ended. So the question is, what about Kriya? In other words, when can they do Ichui? So the Rav Yoh says that regel is mevatel shloshim, but it's not matir ichui, and therefore you'd have to wait two more days after Yom Kippur. Now that's also a little strange. How do you come up with 2 days? Because Rosh Hashanah is not just mevatel the Shiva, but it counts as Shiva. So then that's 7 days, and then you have the days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur also counts as Shiva, but it's not Mevatel the Shloshim, so then you're up to 28, and then 2 days after Yom Kippur, you're going to have the Shloshim end. So this is really perplexing. On the one hand, this highlights perhaps the difference between Avelos and Kriya. In other words, there's a din of Shiv and Shloshim for Kriya, there's a din of Shiv and Shloshim for Avelos, but we actually are Mechalik. The din of Shloshim for Avelos, we say, ends by the ragel, the second one, and the din of shloshim for kriya doesn't end, even though we still have the funny idea that it counts for 7 days. But still, ultimately, we're being mechalik between them. That's the opinion of the Rav Yoh, and that's the psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah. However, the Shach, Sifkat and Chavdalid, notes that the minhag is to do Ichui as soon as you end Avelos. How do we do that? It's against the Rav Yoh, it's against the Pesach of the Mechaber and the Ramah. So here the Shach says a remarkable Chiddush within the view of the Ramban. This is something that the Ramban doesn't say, and we'll discuss whether there's even counter evidence in the Ramban for the Shach's theory. But the Shach says like this. The Ramban writes that, as I mentioned before, that the principle of Avelos L'chud and Kriya L'chud is said with respect to the principle of Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel Ba'avel. So the Shach says that means the only difference is with respect to Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel Ba'avel, that we say Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel Ba'avel, but not the Kriya. But everything else is the same, right? Avelos L'chud, Kriya L'chud is only with respect to that one din. Oh, So if so, then the Shach, though he doesn't, sorry, the Ramban, though he doesn't say so, would presumably disagree with the Ramban, with the Rav Yah. And the Shach would say that since Avelos and Kriya are the same with respect to everything except for the minor detail that we don't say Halachik Divrei Hameko B'Kriya, so Memela, just like Yom Kippur is Mevatel L'Shloshim L'Inyan Avelos, so too it should be Mevatel L'Inyan of Shloshim, the Dinim of Shloshim L'Inyan Kriya. So what the Ramban is basically saying, as understood by the Shach, is that at the very least, in terms of all halachos, Kriya and Avelos are always the same. And again, presumably what that would point to is a more significant conceptual connection, which is that Kriya is a din, a aspect of Avelos, and therefore it should follow all the same rules as Avelos. Whereas the Rav Yah, who differentiates, would presumably say, no, these are two separate mitzvos that an avel chayv to do, but there's no reason that we should extrapolate from one for the other, and therefore, even with respect to the minyan shloshim, we'll be mechalik. In sif lamed, so that's example two. Example three, sif lamed, so there's a very interesting halacha. We know that when it comes to a safek nefel, so we're not misavel, and the Gonim said that's true with legabe avelos, but not legabe kriya. So you would tear kriya, and the Rambam says no, you do not tear kriya. Now,
meaning the Rambam says the same things.
Yeah, just like avelos, just like there's no avelos, so too there's no kriya. Now, why isn't there kriya? So the Pashtus, when you look at the Ramban, is because Kriya is also Derabanan. Like I mentioned to you before, the Ramban holds that Kriya is Derabanan, as opposed to those Gaonim who hold it's Deoraisa. It's Derabanan, but we don't say Halach Divrei Mekel B'Avel. But since it's Derabanan, we could still be Mekel in the Safek Nefel. If you look at the Graf, for example, Sifkan Hay, and the Ramban's also inside, that's really what the Ramban sounds like. Now, it's not actually so posh, it's sort of interesting. We're not going to get into it now, but you might have said that since we don't say Yachad V'Rabim L'Hakel, and the Rabim, the Rabbanan would say it's not an Eifel, then you shouldn't, but we don't say that. Anyway, so the Ramban here is being Mechalek between, is saying that when you look at the way the Ramban says it, is it's not because they're linked, Be'atzem, Kriya and Avelos, it's just that you could be Mekel here on Kriya as well, because it's a Safek Derabanan. That's the way the Lashon of the Ramban to me sounds like he's saying. Right, I'll read it to you. V'adei Amrinan B'Gemar Le'el Avelos L'Chod V'Kriya L'Chod Pirshu Bo M'tnei Shekriya Min HaTorah V'Avelos M'Dereim. That's what the Gaonim said. Why? Shakriya atzma medivrei sofrim he v'sveka lakula. That's the, to me, the simple meaning of the Shach is he's saying, yeah, we happen to have the same halacha for kriya navelos, but that's just because sveka lakula. But the way the Shach reads that, again, Shach sif katan chav dalad, is no, that what the Ramban is getting at is his theory before that, be'etzem, they're the same. We don't want to be machalik between kriya navelos, and therefore, and therefore, we're Mekel here. Therefore, we're Mekel here. Sif Lamed Aleph, the question comes up again. According to Rov Rishonim, we are Koreh on Chol HaMoed, even though there's no Avelos. It's a Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Ein Koren V'lo Cholten V'ein Mevarin Ela Krovo Shel Meis. So, most Rishonim understand that Mishnah is talking about Chol HaMoed. Remember, Eilu Megalchon Zin Moed Katan. Sometimes forget about that. And that's the Havan of Rov Rishonim. So it's saying that even though other forms of Kriya you wouldn't do on Chol HaMoed, for Krov of Shomeis, you do Kriya. That's, for example, the Ramban, the Ravid, the Rosh, the Rambam. And therefore, we split Kriya and Avelos. However, there are some Rishonim, for example, Rabbeinu Peretz, it's in Hagos HaSmak, the Rimi Luniel, others, that understand the Mishnah is talking about Chol. How they read the Mishnah is a different story. It's a difficult point. But the point is that there are a group of Rishonim that say no. Just like there's no Avelos on Chol HaMoed, there should be no Kriya. And then the Rama writes Minag, which is a Pshara, sort of interesting question, which is that for parents you're going to tear Kriya, but not for other relatives. And the Rama writes that that's what you should do if that's the Minag. In other words, it sounds like the Rama holds that Mikaradin, the Minag, the Halacha follows the opinion of Rov Rishonim and the Mechaber that you do Kriya on Chol HaMoed for relatives, unless the Minag is otherwise, and then you only do it for parents. In terms of what the Minag is nowadays, whether that's the Minag is actually a debate. I saw in one of the Sfarim that says, the Minag in Tel Aviv is you tear Kriya on Chol HaMoed for all relatives, like Rov Rishonim, and the Minag in Yerushalayim is only for parents, like what the Rama says. So there doesn't seem like there's a clear-cut consensus of what the Minag is. But one way or the other, here we have another place where the Rishonim debate whether or not we're willing to split a Kriya and Avelos, and that has to be considered within this broader question. And finally, the last one is in Sif Lamed Beis. On the tzad that you do Kriya on Chol HaMoed is a machlokas between the Gaonim and the Ramban, whether if you have a Shmur Krova, Shinasis Rechoka L'Achar HaRegel. So according to the Gaonim, there is no Kriya, because since there's no Shiva, there's no Kriya, right? Which brings us back to the very first source that we had at the beginning. In other words, the Gaonim think we link the two. So here there's no Shiva, there's no Kriya. Usually, even according to the opinions, the Gaonim say you do tear Kriya on Chol HaMoed. But that's only because, even though there's no Avelos on Chol HaMoed, because there's going to be Avelos after Chol HaMoed. Whereas the Ramban says, no, you tear Kriya. So he's willing to break that connection, which is sort of interesting, because remember, according to the Shach, Ramban is the Baal Shita that isn't Mechalek. Now, you could see this Ramban as against the Shach. The Shach would have to say that perhaps see this as more of a technicality or the like. Really, you should have Avelos on Shiva, but you can't, maybe because Seder Rabim, and Seder Rabim isn't Mevatel Kriya, it's Mevatel Avelos, and the like. But that's sort of what you're going to have to say. In other words, this theory, this supports the simple reading of the Ramban, but is difficult for the Shach's reading of the Ramban. Example number 6 of where we see possible equations or differences is Sif Chav Zayin. So the Gemara in Moed Katan Chav Avam Beis, and this Paskin in the Torah says, we are Mekarin Lakatan Mepneag Mas Nefesh. So there's no regular Kriya, because it's a Katan, but Agmas Nefesh, to create Agmas Nefesh, presumably in other people, we tear Kriya on this kid. Now the Drisha, and it's quoted by the Taz, Sif Katan Tezayin, writes, you see from here, that that there is Chinuch, that this is only if it's a Katan, but
this is if the mace is a katan. Or
no, if the avel is a katan, right? If the avel is a katan, take a look if you want to look. Sif Chav Zayin. It says katan shemeis lo mace mekarin lo. So says the Taz mekarin lo b'tor kasav neagmas nefesh perish kedei laharbos behesped. The kasav ritzgeis. The katan shegil chinuch korin lo kederech shemechanchin oso b'shar mitzvos. Upirish beis Yosef, tahaynu afilu hecha shemeis lo meis, delez be mishum agmas nefesh. In other words, Ritz Geyes says that that's only when is it that the kriya is only alta agmas nefesh? That's when it's lo yigilachinach. So we're going to have regular kriya out chinach. And the nafkamina would be if there was a situation where it's not shaykh agmas nefesh, but there is still shaykh chinach, so you would still tear kriya. Whatever the nafkaminas are, the post can give different examples of nafkaminas. But anyway, the point is that the Ritzgeya says that there is chinach for kriya. Says the Drisha, mikan raya, shekatan shegiya lechinach, tzarech lenog kol dinei avelos. Just like there's chinach for kriya, so too there's chinach for avelos. That's the Drisha, and the Taz quotes it. The Shach says, ma pitom, ulani az daiti, this in the Kudus HaKesef, nerded, dafka bekriya minan hachi. We only say that for kriya, but there's no chinach for avelos. So here, interestingly enough, we have the Shach arguing that we're machalik. We don't extrapolate from one to the other. Again, even though the Ramban, as understood by the Shach, and the Shach that this is the way we accept, wants to put them together, he said, for chinuch, we differentiate. So what does that mean? So that could be, again, point to a difference, a chiluk, between kriya and avelos. They're fundamentally different, and therefore there's chinuch for one, not for the other. Or you could get out of it, and you might dafka want to get out of it for the Shach, especially. The Dagul Mirvava says, well, that's just for a technical reason. Why isn't there chinuch for avelos? And he says that's because of bittul Torah. You say, what? Well, every chinuch is bittul Torah. The answer is no, because avelos is mamash and iser of Talmud Torah. So it's the opposite of chinuch. And that's why this is, and we don't want to have mixes avelos, so therefore there's no chinuch for avelos. Kriya doesn't involve bittul Torah, so therefore there would be. So it's not, you know, that's the Dagul Mirvava's explanation of the Shach. So that's another place where, again, you see this question of whether we connect the two or not. And finally, the last example, though this might not be so telling, because here it's Kriya without regular avelos, but it might be telling as well. Sifla Mites, we talk about Kriya for other forms of Kriya, like Sefer Torah being burnt, or Yerushalayim, or the like. So the Tur writes that, let's say, for Yerushalayim, you're Shola L'achar Shiva. And all the other Rishonim say, no, you don't have to wait Shiva. That's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, they say that Shiva is a din in Avelos L'chud, and since there's no Avelos, right, when you see Yerushalayim, there's a Chiv Kriya, there's no Chiv Avelos, so then there's no concept of Shiva. Whereas the Tur holds, fascinatingly enough, that if there's a Chi of Kriya, so then there must also be a din of Shiva. And just like for regular Avelim, if there's a din of Kriya, you can't be Shola Lach or Shiva, there must be a din of Shiva for this as well. Which brings us back to a very interesting question. In other words, we know that there is a din of Shiva and Shloshim, for that matter. That takes us to the Rav Yaz issue. There is a din in Shiva and Shloshim for Kriya. How do you understand that? Is that a din in Kriya or a din in Avelos? So, the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch against the Tur is no. When you have Kriya without Avelos, so then the concepts of Shiva and Shloshim are irrelevant. Whereas the Tur is holding, no. Shiva is a din in Kriya, it's not a din in Avelos. So, Mimela, even when there's no Avelos whatsoever, there's still a din in Shiva, right? So that's very fascinating. In other words, the fact that you have halachos of Shiva for Kriya, what does that tell us? Does that tell us that, oh, look, actually, Avelos and Kriya are more closely related? Or does that tell us, no, this is what the Torah says. It doesn't tell us that Avelos and Shiva are more closely related. Actually, what it could tell us is that there's a din in Shiva and Kriya. And Shiva's not dafka din in Avelos. Okay, so these are the examples that I came up with of the connection between Kriya and Avela. When as you go through the simon, see, maybe I missed some. But it's a very interesting question to think about in terms of the broader implications of our siman. So now to go into some of the details of the halachos of kriya. So the first question you have to figure out for is when should you tear kriya? So the smak writes, and this is quoted by the Raman Sif Aleph, that l'chatchila you should do kriya kodem shiistom pnei golal or pia golal, pia meis. The shach said that means bekaber. So basically, though it's perhaps a little unclear what this means exactly, the kriya must be done l'chatchila prior to the completion of burial. Good. Why? So that's ikar shas chimum, or the sof shas chimum. Whereas once the burial is complete, the chimum is not as intense. And while it's true that you would still tear kriya if you didn't tear kriya until that point, either because you messed up or because you weren't wearing the baguette that you could tear kriya on, but that's the ikar zman. Now, all that's great until you look at the shach Sif Katan Gimel, who sends us back to a Shin Lamed Tes Sif Gimel. Shin Lamed Tes Sif Gimel writes that Omim Tzidek Hadin Im Yitzias Neshama V'Koyreya K'shemagia L'Dayin Emes. So that indicates that when is the Zman Kriya? B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. And also, and that's very significant, it links Kriya with Tzidek Hadin, which indicates that Kriya, as we referred to before, is part of Tzidek Hadin. So we have then two Zmanim in Shulchan Aruch, one in Siman Shin Lamed Tes, and one in Siman Shin Mem, as to when Kriya should be done. It happens to be that the more common practice nowadays is that Kriya is torn before the Levaya. Generally speaking, again, there are, I have to tell you, by the way, I'm a Kohen, so I have very little shimush in these things. I've had many, many more nidah shilas than avela shilas. And also because Baruch Hashem, we have a very young kahila, and I live, yeshiva, they're young, so I don't have so much experience. And I can never go to levayas anyway, for the most part. My impression is that the most common time to do kriya is right before the levaya. Oftentimes the avelim will come out, people have are gathered, they're sitting down already, and then they'll come out and they'll tear kriya. So where does this come from? So l'chora comes from halacha, based off the Gemara, it's paskind in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam puts it is in Perk Ches Halacha Gimel, is aval al aviv imo koreya, Achimagalas libo, we'll talk about what that means. Umavdil sabeged, talk about what that means. Veino kriya bekli ala biyado, mibachutz bifnei kol ha'am, v'koreya kol begadav she'alav. There's an Indian, this is based off of Gemara, there's machlokas what the Gemara means, but the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, we pass him like the Rambam as well, is that for parents, yikoreya mibachutz bifnei kol ha'am. So, L'chora, the pshat is like this, that at least for parents, we want to do kriya bifnei kol ha'am. So, let's say the relatives are there b'shas yitzias neshama, so then there's really two mechayvim of kriya. There's the regular mechayv of kriya, which could be done any time, a fravelim, which could be done any time until the burial. And then there's the kriya alts shas yitzias neshama. So there we say, okay, well, you were there shas yitzias neshama, so you should tear kriya then. And we want the kriya to be done in conjunction with the tzedakah din. So then we say, kshemagia l'dayna emes, you're koreya. Because that's part of the kriya. It's part of being matzdik es hadin. Or daf, you want to be matzdik es hadin b'shas kriya, at the time that you show this incredible angst, pain, right to the point that you're ripping your clothing, you still express your belief in the Tzidduk HaDin. So, if you're there b'shas yitzias neshama, so that's a good time to do it. But otherwise, any time is good. And therefore, at the very least, for Ava V'Imo, when we have a halacha of doing it publicly, that's part of the inyan of the kibud avayim, to publicly tear kriya, to express your grief over your parents, not just privately, but publicly express your grief. And therefore, the appropriate time to do it is the way, you know, the way it's commonly done, which is, when is it going to be bifnei kol ha'am? So, the time it's going to be bifnei kol ha'am is right before, you know, when everybody's gathered for the funeral. And therefore, that expresses the practice. So therefore, at the very least, for parents, certainly if you weren't there, b'shas yitzias neshama, it makes sense to wait till the levaya. And even if you were there, b'shas yitzias neshama, to be mekayim mibachotz bifnei kol ha'am. And therefore, the practice has become to wait till the levaya when it's bifnei kol ha'am. The other relatives, not the children, don't have to do it bifnei kol ha'am. But I think since that's when the children do it, that's when everybody tends to do it. I think also the reason why people wait is because b'shas yitzias neshama, they don't know what to do, they don't know the halachos. Whereas later on at the levaya, the rabbi's there, the chaver, you know, they're gonna be show you what to do and how to do it and help you do it. Our clothing are such that generally speaking, it's really almost impossible to start the kriya without a kli anyway. So you're usually going to need help. Most people that aren't rabbis don't walk around with like a razor blade in their pocket to start the kriya with. So, therefore, the practice has become to wait until the levaya. Now, if a person is there b'shas yitzias neshama, and it's not the parents, and they know how to tear kriya, you know, they've learned the halachos and they're able to tear kriya and the like, and they want to tear kriya there, I think by all means there's no reason not to. But again, since most of the time that's not going to be the case, so therefore the practice is to wait. So to summarize, you know, our question was, there's two zmanim, one in Shin Lamed Tes and one in Shin Mem, and perhaps the answer is that those are two times for two different dinim.
So then why shouldn't you just tear twice?
There's no mitzvah. You don't have your yotzei, your mitzvah of kriya. You don't have to tear twice. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to tear twice. So once you've done it, you've done it. If you tore for your parents even, you know, b'shas yitzias neshama shelo bifnei ha'am, I don't think you tear kriya again. They're basically two separate halachos.
One is for Ava V'Imo, one is not, or one is...
So yeah, one is for, again, in terms of the Zman Kriya, that's what we say in Siman Shin Mem. It's any time until the burial is complete. We mention the shir given in Shin Lamed Tes, Omrim Tzidok Adinim Yitzias Neshama, Okshagia L'dayna Emes Korei Ha'avel, is for someone who's there b'shas Yitzias Neshama. If you're there b'shas yitzias neshama, so then in addition to the kriya alts abelus, there's a mitzvah of kriya alts yitzias neshama. So at least if it's not apparent, you may as well do kriya then. That's what I'm saying, and that's why it says, that's why it gives the shir and shin lamed tes of b'shas yitzias neshama. That's for someone who's there b'shas yitzias neshama. And then I'm saying, so what is it comes out halach l'maisa? So what I'm saying is, what it comes out halach l'maisa is that for a parent it would make sense to wait. For other krovim, if you're there, not there b'shas yitzias neshama, then you could do whatever you want, but there's no reason not to wait. And if and again, since most people don't really know what to do, so it became the practice probably to wait. So the only time you wouldn't wait is if you're not, if it's not, if it's, when we're talking about not child, who's there b'shas yitzias neshama, who's able to and knows what to do. And that's when Shin Lamed Tes is relevant. And even then, again, you know, people, since most of the time, you know, these people don't have these halachos on their fingertips, and they're not in a, you know, they're not in a proper frame of mind to think about these things. I think that's why the practice developed to basically almost always wait till the Levaya. I will skip Kriya Ma'umad. In terms of Kriya Yidei Acher, so the halacha is that for a parent, the Avel should do it. For Shara Ve'lim, could be done by somebody else.
Meaning this means that another person is tearing kriya for you, or you can't tear your bag at it?
It means somebody else. One second, what I said I think is incorrect. I forget what I said. Okay, in terms of who should do it, so Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. Misha meis lo meis and sif aleph, v'hu mea meisim shavai lo saval alayim chayv l'kra alav. That's what it says. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Birkei Yosef, from Rav Yaakov Molcho, that it's, as I said before, somebody else, kol kriya tov shetia al yidei acher, de mizbayish mimenu, v'ik agmas nefesh tfei, she'achar korea ksuso, v'hu shosek, u'mekabel alav, dino yizbarach. Now, there's, like we saw before, the idea is that the connection between Tzidok HaDin and Kriya, that is the opinion of Rav Yaakov Molcho. However, the other Achronim, among them the Aruch HaShulchan, disagrees. He says, Mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. You have a mitzvah to do Kriya, why should somebody else do it for you? And that's the preference. The minhag is, and this is quoted by some svarim, like the Beis Yehuda, is that the Chevr Kadisha starts and does a little bit, or sometimes it's the Rav, because like we said before, anyway, it's very difficult to really start a tear, and you usually need a Kli. So the Chevr Kadisha starts, what I was saying before was about Kli, not Acher, that's where I got confused. The Chevr Kadisha will start it, or the Rabbi will start it, and then the Avel will be mamshich and tear it, do the actual kriya himself, which is in a sense a combination of the two opinions, because you have somebody else starting it, like Rav Yaakov Molcho, but the ikar kriya is done by the Avel, like the Aruch HaShulchan says mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucho, and that is the common practice nowadays. Pischei Tshuva adds over there that if somebody else does the kriya for you, like the Rav Yaakov Molcho, and he tears too much, he's going to be chayev, because havei leil meidak. And l'chora, these halachos, as we said before, according to some achronim, if you tear too much, it's over mishum bal tashchis, you tear more than a tefach, which is the shear for shar krovim. The pashtus is those halachos don't apply so much nowadays anyway, because I think everybody usually throws out or doesn't wear their shirt that they tear kriya on any longer. So it's not really additional bal tashchis, it's not going to be chayv and dinei mamonis. In the olden days, when people would generally repair their shirts that they tore kriya on, so then additional kriya would be inappropriate, possibly. As opposed to nowadays, it probably doesn't make a difference. You don't have to start worrying about if you tore a little more than a tefach. In terms of Sif Beis, we talk about the Makom of Kriya. So the Gemara says, Chavav and Beis, and it's Paskin and Torah Shulchan Aruch, that Koreh Milamatum and Atstadim Lo Yasha. So if it's at the bottom of the baguette, or it's on the sides of the baguette, or it's on the back of the baguette, you're Lo Yatsa. Rabbi Yehuda says you're Yatsa, but we assume Lo Yatsa, right? Also, the Shulchan Aruch had Lachorev Lo Yatsa. So where should you be Koreya? So the Ramban writes from the Ritz Geus, and this is Paskin Torah and Shulchan Aruch, that you're Korim Beveis Hatzaver Shalafanav. Right, the front part of the baguette. The main part of the baguette. Above your belly button. Not on the sides, not on the back. Beis Hatzaver Lamala. Ramban says, Beis Hatzaver Lamala, but Lo K'nahu K'neged Beis Hachaza. I assume what that means, as we say later on, is any place in the front, Atiburo, is okay. We'll be a little more specific in a moment. But that's Mikra Adin. We'll get to parents in a second. But basically, any part of the Beged, on the front main part of the Beged, is kosher. The Pesach Tshuva Sifkan Beis quotes from the Chachmas Adam from the Radvaz that L'rochav HaBeged Lo Yatza Kinira Shenikra Me'atmo. Now, what that means is that, and again, I'm not sure if that would really apply to our shirts anymore, but the idea is that this has to look like an intentional tear. So if it's done in a way where it looks like this might have ripped on its own, then it would be wrong. And that's why some poskim say that you shouldn't tear along a seam. Because I've seen some people do that. They sort of tear on the seam over here where the buttons are connected. So one could argue that that's inappropriate for this reason, because when you tear along the seam, so it looks like it tore on its own. And that's the point I think Rabbi Schechter says. You should go like towards the middle of the garment, not by the seam, so that way it doesn't look like it. Now, for other v'imo, there's an additional requirement, the Gemara says, that it has to be mekamei safa. And the Rama writes that our minhag is to do that for all krovim, as we'll see later on, even though it's not strictly speaking necessary. Now, what does mekamei safa mean? Right, this is in Sif Yud Beis. I'll call him mesim imratza miniach sfas habeged shleima, the korea misafa ulamata. Now, other the imo tzarch likra kol asafa. And then the Rama writes v'yesh al mimah shar krovim tzarch likra asafa v'chei noagim. So, if you think about a t-shirt, so what that means is you should start from the top and tear downwards. Now, the question is, what about for our shirts? So, people don't care the upper part of the collar, and that's because it's not really part of the baguette. In other words, the collar is sewn on top of the baguette. It's not part of the actual baguette. It's like an ornament, right? You know, I think it would be very nice if all of our collars were removed and we got to wear t-shirts. But it's not really part of the baguette. So even for other emo, instead of starting at the collar and going straight down, it's also a fulfillment of mekamei safa if you start on the edge where the buttons are, because that's also a safa, right? That's also an edge of the baguette. And that's generally speaking what people do. The way, again, Rabbi Schechter says it should be done is don't do it by the seams, but go inwards three tfachim before you go down. So on the one hand, you have mikamei safa by starting at the edge, but you don't just go straight down from the edge because that's a seam, but you go in, if I said three tfachim, I meant three etzbos. You go in a little bit, or four etzbos, I think he says, four etzbos, and then you go downwards. That's, I think, the way Rabbi Schechter says to do it, though, if I recall, that's not the way. I think when he was in Avel, so the Chevra Kedisha, you know, tells you what to do, and you have to listen. So he listened. So he didn't actually tear Kriya the way I think he tore Kriya the standard way. So the standard way we'll get to in a moment, whether it's left or right, but it started to go straight down, not to go into the Beged four etzbos and then down.
Not just the seam issue?
I think so. It's not the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes it. I was looking for poskim. The way the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes it is, it's tzarich l'kra b'makom sh'abeged shalei mitchilaso v'lo b'makom ha-tefer. He doesn't give that shear that Rabbi Schachter says, but the point is that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that you shouldn't do it on a seam. And again, I assume the idea is because what the Radvaz says, which is that if it's on the seam, it looks more like a natural tear as opposed to a intentional tear. Okay. How big, how much should you tear? So the Gemara Moed Katan, based off the Pasuk, Vayechazek David, Ein Achiza Pachos Mitefach, says that the shear is a tefach. However, for Avi V'Imo, Achigalas Libo. So, what is Achigalas Libo? So the main applicability of Achigalas Libo we'll get to a little later. It means you have to tear all your clothing, not just the outer clothing, not just the Beged Elyon. But another application is the poskim understand that's also telling you the shear. So where's your heart? So some of the poskim say it's approximately makom hanachas tefillin, right? We know we put our tefillin by our heart, so it's approximately, you're supposed to put your tefillin keneged halev, so that's where you should tear kriya. So that might be more than a tefach. It might be a tefach and a half, might be two tefachim, depending how tall you are, depending exactly where on the beged you start, and how low your collar is, and the like. But that's the halacha for parent, achigalas libo. We'll see that's going to affect a number of other halachos, like the side of the kriya, left versus right, and the like.
Then you start from the top and then go straight down.
So yeah, to the biceps. How far, right? So Chassam Sofer says, if you're a very small person or you have a very low beged, and achigalas libo is less than the tefach, so it can't be that it's more kal. It's only a chumrah. But again, if you started at the top of your clothing, right, and you went down a tefach, a lot of times that wouldn't get you to keneged alev. So since there's this din for a parent of achigalas libo, again, nowadays, I think the way people tear kriya, it's not really that practically going to be such a difference. You probably get, up to the lathe all the time for all krovim. It's probably more of a nafkamina when you're dealing with something more like a t-shirt, where you really start at the top. That's when it would be more of a difference. Yeah?
What was Rosh Hashanah shear of Bala at 12?
I think just to get away from, I'm not sure, you could ask him. I think it's to get away from the seam.
And then
you go straight down. Okay. Again, the way sometimes you see a lot of people do it is, they'll start with like a scissors, let's say, and do a horizontal tear from the seam, and then the avel will go down from there. So that's basically what Rabbi Schachter wants. Okay. Fine. And then there, in terms of the shear, also, if you're mosif on a kriya for another mace, la'achar shiva, meaning to say the shiva for the first mace has already passed, so then it's sagi v'kol shehu, except for other ima, where also, again, you have to be megalas libo. Meaning to say for other krovim, it's a kol shehu, because you're mitzdarif the pre-existing kriya, assuming it's po shiva. Okay, we'll skip sif dalad, krove, krovav, and sif vav. It comes up, well, maybe we'll talk about that more in terms of when we get up to Shinayin Dalet Siv Vav for Avelos on Krove Krovav. Though Lemaisa, for whatever reason, and we'll talk about it then, that halacha is not applied nowadays. So, the next thing we're going to talk about, again, I'm more or less following the order of Shulchan Aruch, is Kriya for non-relatives. So, Sif Hei, the next, you know, the Gemara in Shabbos and the Maikatan basically tells us there are a number of cases where even for non-relatives you tear Kriya. So, the first category is someone who's there b'shas yitzias neshama. Now, the Pashuk Shana Gemara is that that is a regular din of Kriya, so it's going to have to be a tefach, you know, in the front of the garment, just like all things. Okay, you don't have the chumras of Avi V'Imo, but the standard laws of Kriya should apply here. However, the smak, the marivayel, the aguda, the kolbo, all right, that the minag is lekro lamata b'shar mesim. So the smak says maybe that's because there's so mech on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning, say, Rabbi Yehuda's view, it's quoted in Masachas Machos, is that Lamata works. Now, really, we follow the Chachamim. But for non-relatives, or for Yetzias Neshama, the things aren't mentioned in the Kriyas that aren't mentioned in the Mishnah, then we see that as a little more kal. And therefore, you could do it on the bottom. Now, it happened, and the Rama quotes that. The Yesh Omrim, that you could do it in Shuli. Bagad v'nagu, when you're Korea on Avelim, that you're not Miss Aval Alayhem. Now, many people don't tear Kriya at all for basically everybody but relatives. We'll talk a little bit more about why. Though I know of one doctor who was often there, B'Shas Yetzias Neshama, is a doctor. And he follows the halachas. It appears in the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. So, you know, if he tore his clothing, he would go through a lot of kriyas. But what the Ramah says, he takes out the bottom of his shirt and he tears a kriya. So you could tear kriya, you know, a dozen times on the shirt or more, and then you just tuck it in so nobody notices that you've torn kriya, you haven't ruined the shirt. That's really theoretically, what one should do, though I don't think it's the common practice, and we'll talk about why in a moment. So why do you tear Kriya if you're there for Shas Yetzias Neshama? So Rav Shimon ben Elazar writes in the Gemara, it's domer to a Sefer Torah Shenisraf. So what does that mean, Sefer Torah Shenisraf? So the way the Ramban quotes Rashi is that he could have learned an amazing idea, the lost potential, right? Had this person not died, he would have learned more and more and more, right? In other words, it's very fascinating. Sometimes you tear Kriya because of your close relationship with the person. They were taken away from you. That's not relevant here. You don't even know the guy, perhaps. So sometimes you tear Kriya because of a person's accomplishments. They're taken away from the world, like a chacham, perhaps. But that, too, is in Shayach over here. This wasn't a chacham. Rather, right, anybody, no matter what, rather, it's for their lost future potential. So that's another aspect of Kriya. Very fascinating idea. Now the Ramban says on Rashi, well, according to that reason, then you shouldn't tear Kriya for a woman, since she's not Chayaves in Talmud Torah. And therefore, he says two possibilities. Either the pshat in this kriya is that the nefesh to the guf is like the azkaros to the gvilin. The way, it's a very fascinating idea, right? Now, if you know for a Sefer Torah has azkaros and the gvil, and so too, the nefesh, the azkaros give kedusha to the gvil, so too, the nefesh gives kedusha to the guf, and therefore, when the nefesh and the guf separate, so then kriya is appropriate. That's the idea. The Chassam Sofer takes this idea further. He says that's the whole idea of kvura, right? That the guf is mishamesh the nefesh. So kvura, in fact, the Chassam Sofer writes that the mitzvah of kvura is the makor that tashmishe kedusha require geniza, right? He says mashen kein a guy. So a guy is like tashmishei mitzvah. Guyim could do mitzvos. So therefore it's aser levazosam, right? Just like we paskin for Tashmishei Mitzvah. So you don't need Kfura. You don't need Gneza for a guy. There's no Mitzvah Kfura. So it's interesting because I'm so fair. So that's the Ramban's first pshat. But he says it's a mashal. Ba'alma lomar shu hafsid gadol. The second pshat, he says, is just like when the Gemara says it's like a Sefer Torah Shenisraf, just like we tear Kriya for a Sefer Torah, so too, we tear Kriya for those that are Mekayim the mitzvos of the Torah. So those are the Ramban's two reasons. Now if you actually look at the Rashi in Shabbos, Kofim Abesi gives a different reason. He says, because every Jew is Malei Torah or mitzvos Kerimon. So he says Torah and mitzvos. And that's why you tear Kriya. Now the Beis Yossi says, according to this, you should tear Kriya for a woman. Even according to Rashi. And even though he says Torah, she also has to learn mitzvos, maisa mitzvos. Right? You see, I think from this Beis Yosef, an interesting point. There's a whole shaila about the nature of women's learning. He assumes, the Beis Yosef seems to assume it's medin talmud Torah. It's not just the din of hechsher mitzvah, which is an interesting topic. Rashi and Moed Katan on Chaf Hamid Beis is something else. He says Torah nikra ner, and the neshama is also called a ner. And Beis Yosef says, according to that reason as well, you would tear kriya for a woman. So again, to summarize that point, so Kriya for a woman, according to the Ramban, Bidas Rashi would be Pater. Beis Yosef says, you're chayv, he gives a number of reasons, either because we hold like the Ramban's reason, or according to our Rashi, Lefaneinu, you should tear Kriya, or even according to the Rashi Ksav Yad, which is again the Rashi that the Ramban had, so women are also chayavos, lil mod, right, which we said maybe is... It's not like that famous Beis HaLevi in terms of the nature of Talmud Torah for Nashim. The Taz writes, Sifkan Beis, that a Shach, similar point in Zion, that the Rashal writes that according to the Ramban, B'Shem Rashi, you should tear Kriya on a Katan. And according to Rashi and Shabbos, you shouldn't tear Kriya on a Katan. Why? If you're talking about future potential, the Katan has it. If you're talking about Torah mitzvos, he doesn't have it. The Bach writes, Katan Shalomed Mikra Tzarch Lekrel Kulei Alma. Now, sounds like from the Shach and the Taz, we don't pass them like the Rashi and Shabbos, and therefore, you should tear Kriya on a woman, but not on a Katan. Unless they were Lomed Lundu Mikra.
Is that Rashi and Shabbos?
No, they're accepting Rashi and Shabbos.
Right.
And therefore, you should tear Kriya on a woman, not on a Katan, unless they've started to learn. Right? And it's also an interesting point they say as well, which is that if they started to do mitzvot, you wouldn't tear Kriya. But if they started to learn, you would. In other words, the Kiyam, it's Shayach Talmud Torah for Ketanim, but it's not Shayach Mitzvot for Ketanim. It's Medim Chinuch, but it's not Be'etzem a mitzvah. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Radvaz that we're not Korea and Ketana, but the Gemara sounds like you are. Okay, the last point we're going to do, I guess just two more points quickly, and then we have to stop. So, why is it that, as I mentioned, the common practice is not to do this anymore? It's very schwer. It's against Shulchan Aruch. To tear Kriya B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. So the Shulchan Gavoa writes that because the minhag became that way because we didn't want people to hesitate from being around B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. Being around Yitzias Neshama, as we saw yesterday, is a big inyan. And if people are afraid of losing their clothing, they won't be willing to do that. It's very bad. We don't want the Neshama to leave when the person's all alone. That's how sort of the practice became not to tear Kriya. Now, there's an interesting shaila Pesachei Tshuva discusses Sifkan Gimel. What about if the Yitzias Neshama is on Shabbos? So obviously you don't tear Kriya on Shabbos. What about tearing Kriya on Motei Shabbos? So the Radvaz writes, your Pater, that's also Pesach V'Chassam Soifer. Tefillah Moshe says, no, if the Kfura didn't take place yet, you would. Now, you would tear Kriya on Motei Shabbos, which is very interesting. It's chalalav. In other words, it's not just that, according to Tfiras L'Moshe, creates a chiv on him that would be shayach even afterwards. This, by the way, gets into the postgame. Say this is gets into the Shiloh. What happens if you see the Makom HaMikdash on Shabbos, and then so you don't tear Kriya? What about Motzei Shabbos? So the minhag is like the Radvaz that people don't tear Kriya on Motzei Shabbos, and they don't tear Kriya if they went to the Kotel on Shabbos for the first time, the Makom HaMikdash, they don't tear Kriya afterwards. That's what Rav Tichachinsky and Shlomo Zalman Orbach says is the minhag. Okay, the next thing we're going to start talking about tomorrow is the din of Rasha and Parsh Midarkei Tzibur, and what about Chilom Nim nowadays, both with respect to Kriya as well as with respect to Avelos. Okay, stop here, and Bez Hashem, back tomorrow.
For Maisa, how did we come out regarding Tera Kriya for women? Meaning?
Definitely Tera Kriya for women. That's the minhag. If you're there, b'shas yitzias neshama. Again, not like Ramban claims Rashi would say. The shaila is more about tzaddik. Yeah. Yeah.
Just from a shaila perspective, when it comes to like introducing Avelos Nefesh, so I saw the Mishum Zami that's bothered by the Rashi and Sukkot, and just do a couple of days. When it's insincere and it doesn't come from a place of intense emotion.
Well, one way or another, it's a mitzvah. You could tell the chevra outside to come in.
Right. So, but if it comes to chuvah betzuvah, if the mitzvah is hiris kavod mace, and you're only doing it.
So you could say both. In other words, if it doesn't reflect agmas nefesh that you have, then maybe it will inspire within you agmas nefesh.
Right.
If you're not sad yet, so you need something to make you sad, and hopefully the kriya could do that.
Right. Basically, you're already saying that in Hanan, we're masking that it's supposed to be creating, so when, even if you already have it, it's supposed to be at least facilitating and creating it.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay.